Good evening. I hope everybody's had a good day so far today. I want to thank these guys for helping me out tonight. I have a world of respect for them, and they mean the world to me. And they've had a huge impact on my life. Also want to thank Ray and the elders for letting me speak tonight. I don't speak a whole lot, but I really do appreciate every time I have to speak. This is definitely the largest crowd I've ever been in front of, so a little nervous up here. But I really do appreciate every chance I have. And before we get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We thank you for the weather that we've had so far, and we thank you so much for the health that you give us to enjoy this weather and see your beautiful creation. We pray that you be with all those who are mentioned tonight who are struggling. We pray that you would comfort them and give them strength. We pray that you be with us now as we study your word. Help us to take something that is said tonight and apply it to our lives and be better Christians each and every day. We pray that you would help us to always live so that others can see Christ in us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So continuing on with our theme this semester of encounter, we'll be talking about Jesus' encounter with his disciples when he walks on the water. In particular, we're going to be focusing on do not be afraid. I encourage you to follow along with me as I read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. This is where the main passage we'll be looking at tonight. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 a.m., Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When I first got this topic, I wasn't really sure, the different ways that I could take it. It's a familiar story to all of us. But when I was brainstorming ideas, I started thinking about some of my experiences on the water in a boat. So at about 7 or 8, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my mom had the idea that she was going to take my older brother, me, and my younger sister on a canoe trip. My mom is not what you would call the outdoorsy type. So this was going to be kind of going out on a limb for all of us. But anyway, we went down, we found a canoe rental place in Shelbyville and went down the Duck River. And it was a perfect day. The sun was shining, nice weather, just perfect day to go canoeing. So we started out, and after a couple of hours, we stopped on the bank, and we had lunch and swam around, messed around for a little bit. And so after that, we started on our last part of the canoe trip. We started getting closer to the end, and there started to be some, curves in the river and everything like that. Had some few little rapids and stuff like that. We had a couple of close calls from flipping the canoe. Well, eventually fate caught up to us, and we came around this curve and then these rapids, and we hit the bank and flipped. And here goes these three little kids and my mom, who doesn't know how to swim, by the way, floating down the river. Finally we get the canoe flipped back over and we keep going. Well, if that wasn't bad enough, after that happened, the sun went away behind the clouds, and down came thunder, lightning, and the most rain I've ever seen in my life while we're on this river. And, of course, being on the water in lightning is not a very good place to be. So here we are, my mom and her three little kids, trying to make it back safe to where we're supposed to go. And you couldn't see anything, and we're behind schedule, and the guy who rented the canoes had parked down by the bank, and if it hadn't been for his lights and stuff, we would have gone right past, and no telling where we'd be today. Fast forward to fifth grade, Miss Holt's class. We filled our jar with marbles. It was a compliment jar. Every time we got compliments, we got to put marbles in the jar. So we filled that up, and once we got to do that, we could do whatever we wanted to as a class. So our class got the idea that we wanted to go canoeing. Well, as you know, my experiences with canoeing so far haven't been that great. But I started out in my friend's canoe with his dad in a canoe that they had rented, and we went down the Elk River, and we stopped again for lunch on the sandbar, and I decided that I wanted to swap canoes because there's this one pretty female in my class that I wanted to be in her canoe. And so sure enough, I got in their canoe, and a few hours later, as we were going down the river, we came around a curve, and I saw all the other canoes all bunched up, and people were paddling upstream, and I didn't know what was going on. Then I saw my friend and his dad in the water, and I saw two halves of that canoe floating down the river. And what had happened was a tree had fallen on the canoe and split the canoe right where I had been sitting earlier. So had it not been for my fifth grade love story, I might not be here today. Then fast forward to this past summer, I was in California going on a motorboat, and for the first time, we were tubing and all that sort of thing. And the motor on the boat overheated and blew a gasket, and so we're stranded out on this lake, had to wait for somebody to get towed us in. So needless to say, I don't have the best luck when it comes to being on the water. So when I read this story, I could kind of relate as far as being scared, as far as that goes. But these are all silly examples of times where we can be afraid. I want us to talk about more times in real life where we're really afraid, where we're devastated, when we don't know where to turn. I've been blessed so far to not have any major life-changing events in my life where I was old enough to understand what was going on. But I know many of y'all have had those times. I know many of y'all maybe have lost a loved one or lost a job, maybe lost a home, had somebody diagnosed with cancer, or even a combination of some of these at the same time. As the story goes, we see in verse 25 through 27 the interaction between Jesus and his disciples in the boat. When the disciples saw Jesus, they thought that he was a ghost. Remember, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're out on this lake. It'd be hard to see things. Verse 27 says that immediately Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And I've kind of wondered every time I read that what I would think if somebody was walking on the water and I thought it was a ghost and they said, "Is I?" Well, who is that? I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me. Who are you? But Peter spoke up and knew that it was Jesus. But Nathan Diller was speaking in a Devo a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned some things that really stuck, that I'd never heard before, and that really stuck with me, and that I thought applied here in my lesson. He was speaking about knowing God, and really knowing God, not just knowing about God. Anybody can look at the world and rationalize that there is a God. But he was talking to really know God and have a relationship with him. So often when we're going through times in our lives where we're having, when we're afraid or we're having struggles, we think about, you know, why am I going through this? How is God going to use this in my life? You know, what is he doing? Why am I having to go through this? Rather than wondering all these things, we need to focus on who God really is. And this is what Nathan was talking about. Whenever someone questions God in the Bible, he always responds by saying who he is. Exodus chapter 3, the familiar story of Moses asking God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and lead your people out of Egypt?" In verse 14, God says, "I am who I am." Judges 6, verse 13 tells the story of Gideon questioning God. Gideon says to the angel, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Verse 14 says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. have I not sent you? Later on in the chapter, it shows how God was with Gideon. God was essentially saying, you know, have you forgotten who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? And God also does this with Ezekiel and Job and other examples in the Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12, what Travis read earlier. I think this verse pretty much hits the nail on the head, reminding us who God is. Isaiah 51, verse 12 says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? I am who comforts you. Who are you to be afraid? We get so caught up in the storms of life that we forget who God really is. It's our human nature to get distracted by these things. We see example of this clearly in Matthew with Peter in verse 30. But when he saw the wind it was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. In this verse, we see two main points that I want to talk about. First, he recognizes who Jesus really is. And then secondly, he cries out to him. This leads me to the next point of prayer. If we go back to the beginning of the passage, we see Jesus is alone in prayer. Sometimes I take for granted the fact that Jesus prayed and found strength in it, because he is God in flesh, after all. In the context of the story, John the Baptist had just been beheaded by Herod. And I can't help but imagine that was part of Christ's prayer, is finding comfort from God in prayer. One of the first stories that I thought about Jesus praying and looking for strength was when he was in the garden praying before his betrayal. Luke captures Christ's distress in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. Christ asked in verse 42 that the cup of suffering should pass from him. He also prayed that God's will be done. Verse 43 tells us that the angel from heaven came and strengthened him. He was in so much agony that his sweat became like blood. When's the last time that you were anxious? Today, I had a big test that I had to do well on, and I was anxious as can be. But I didn't even sweat, much less my sweat become blood. We're not talking about just everyday stresses. Christ is pouring out his heart to God. And when you were in those times, did you think to pray? James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 talks about prayer. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray, in verse 13. And in verse 16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Jesus doesn't pray about going to the cross just once. He prays three times, according to Matthew. He pours his heart out to God. When we're going through times of distress, we need to remember to pray and pour our hearts out to God, and he will give us the strength like the angel did for Christ in the garden. Verse 31, Christ immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter and said, Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? You see, Peter starts out believing that he can walk on water. He says, If it's you, Lord, call me and I will come to you. Then when he steps out, things get real for him. Christ is right there in front of him, and all he can think about and focus on is the storm around him. Christ is right there, and yet he misses that and sees everything else going on. It sounds pretty pitiful, doesn't it? But how many times as Christians do we take our eyes off of Christ? And how many times do we have everything we need right in front of us? We hear of people forgetting God and quitting church because of something that's happened in their life, some kind of big, major, life-changing event. They become scared and distracted and forget about God. Then when it's over, they question, well, where were you, God? Why didn't you help me? What they don't realize is that God was always there waiting to catch them. When they got back into the boat, the wind ceased in verse 32. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Not only did they know and realize who Jesus was, but they gave him the glory whenever the storm ceased. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? Of a man who will die and the Son of Man who will be made like grass? And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he is prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Let's never forget who God is. The God who stretched out the heavens. The God who laid the foundations of the earth. The God who covers you in the shadow of his hand, who gives you strength and comfort. Remember to seek comfort by praying to him, and have faith that he hears you, and that he is always there to help you. Maybe there's some tonight who are afraid, who are going through some life struggles, who don't know where to turn. Maybe someone who started out as a Christian, and like Peter, they had the faith that they could walk on water and could live the Christian life. And then we get caught up in the storms around us. Maybe someone is who has never truly gotten to know God, has never put Christ on in baptism for salvation. If there's any way that we can help you tonight, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.